Hello, Cospotters. Welcome to episode 8. I'm Amber.
I'm Valerie.
And thanks for staying with us this long. Gosh, we're at episode 8 already, and gosh, are we tired. Not of the podcast, I promise.
And now we're just tired of conventions, but we have like a month and a half until our next one, so it's well-deserved rest at this point, man.
For those who don't know, this is kind of our lull before the storm. What is your next one?
Mine is going to be Fanime, which is the week before Akon.
That's the one. And then we're both kind of slammed by Akon. Oh, God.
God. What did we sign up for?
Well, speaking of what we did sign up for, what we're working on right now. Gosh, everything?
That was detailed.
I know. Well, why don't you add some more detail to it with what you're working on first?
But no, both of us have signed up for the cosplay contest. So I'm working on my competition piece, and actually I'm in the process of macrameing a wonderful neck piece. So I'm hoping to have that done by next weekend. So for me, it's just a lot of macrameing, and I'm going to be paper macheing pretty soon. I know you're working on paper mache stuff too.
Yes, I have been getting down and dirty. No, not that way. This is not that kind of con. With paper mache. I am also working on my stage cosplay, giving it a sort of a facelift, as it were, because I've had the costume for a little while now, but I have changed sizes just a little bit. Changed proportions, as people do when they get older. And I am redoing them, basically, so that they fit better. And that also goes for the props. I'm redoing the props.
Yeah.
But hey, they'll look really cool when they're done, and hopefully they'll last a little bit longer this time.
Will they light up?
Yes.
I know you like your lights, so.
There will be much more lighting up on this one. One of them already lit up, and I've still got the parts. I need to put them back together. But I just ordered more LEDs today, so. Yay! Stuff's going to be shiny.
Sparkly and bling your eyes out.
I am not going to sparkle. I'm not cosplaying a vampire. No offense to those who do cosplay vampires. I'm not. But outside of that, because I know we're both frantically working on cosplay every free moment we get, but of course I'm still studying photography as fast as I humanly can. In fact, I just bought a whole bunch more equipment today from Amazon. Woohoo!
And now we're poor.
Well, not quite poor, but certainly getting there between photography and cosplay. But of course, this is all for the podcast. We're getting better lighting equipment because we have had feedback that our lighting isn't always so great when we're on location. And I ended up getting more batteries since, yeah, I kind of learned from Alcon that batteries don't last forever.
Yeah.
So I got extra those. So hopefully our convention coverage will be much, much improved the next time you guys see us. And that has been all of what I'm working on, aside from getting a good night's sleep every once in a while.
Sleep is for the weak.
Then I am wholeheartedly weak, ma'am. Well, no, to be honest, you know, when you go to a convention or when you're preparing for a convention, sleep and really good nutrition and taking care of yourself are some of the best things you can do both before and after. Of course, totally. You end up getting con crud and it wasn't your fault because it means someone else didn't take care of themselves. And they decided to gift the convention with something extra.
Yeah. I was blessed so lovely by someone who had the con crud and shoved it in my face, apparently. Ugh.
Yes. So, of course, cosplay tip of the day, perhaps. Take care of your health before, during, and after a convention. You will thank yourself for it later.
So I have to say, that's probably some of the best sleep that I've had at a convention in a very long time. And I took very good care of myself. So it was somebody around me. Maybe cooties.
Share and share alike. Cosplayers are generous people.
Not in that. Ew.
not that way.
Ew.
Although, speaking of the best sleep you had at a convention, why don't you tell us a little about your experience at Matsuri and apparently a gorgeous convention center?
That's such a lovely segue. Segue. This was like, if anyone's ever been to Anime Fest, this is like Anime Fest, but with more people. It's very much like a relaxing convention where you get to hang out with your buddies, meet new people, start up really great conversations, and it's just a nice place to be and such a pretty convention center. Oh my God. It's one of those where every photo that I found online, either of myself or other cosplayers, it doesn't look like it was taken in a convention center. It
Oh, where
looks
was
like
it?
it was the Waterway Marriott Convention Center in the Woodlands,
For
which is,
those who don't know, can you tell people where the Woodlands is?
yeah, it's like 35, 40 minutes north of Houston, Texas. It's like Plano 2.0.
Okay. For those who don't know where Plano is slightly north of Dallas.
It's a very high-end area where if you've got the money, you live there.
Yeah, this is not your typical Texas dry brush,
No,
completely
no.
dry plains. This is not what you think of as Texas.
Yeah, it's the pretty part of Texas. But yeah, it's just one of those areas where it's like every photo I see, it's like I can't believe this was taken at a convention center, but it's just such a pretty location, and it's like the best lighting I have ever had in a hotel. Oh my God, I could film panels and not be disappointed by the lighting. It was awesome.
It can
But
be
yeah.
really hard to find those places too.
It is, because hotel lighting is usually very yellowy or very green. I mean, even
Hold
any photo, yeah, exactly. All gone. Yeah,
on.
no,
No offense to the Crowne Plaza, just their lighting is not meant for filming.
it really isn't. So I haven't had to tweak my lighting that much for the photos that I've posted online, which link right here. Ding, 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 ding. So yeah, I've got photos and video of all, not all con, of Mount Surrey up. But yeah, it's just a great hangout convention. Met a lot of really great people, got to talk to a lot of cool people and hang with friends. And really, it's just a nice, relaxing con. Other than getting con cred, I'm totally going back next year.
And that's always the best compliment you can give a convention, is that you want to go back.
Exactly. If I want to go back, then you're good.
True. And speaking of actually finding good locations at convention centers for filming and paneling and such, I happened to get a really fantastic interview with Amanda of Elemental Photography that you guys will actually be seeing later in this podcast. That was so much fun.
It
Oh.
was an awesome interview. I'm so proud of her because I couldn't be there because I was at Mount Surrey and I was like, you're going to take care of this. And
Nope.
it is a good interview.
We
My
kind of tag teamed a little bit.
God.
She was off doing the live convention coverage, and I was taking care of interviews and putting up the next episode.
But
Because she's the producer. I am just the webmaster. The lights are on the But at any rate, we've got a wonderful segment on wig cutting coming up, as well as part of our interview with Amanda from Elemental Photography, as I said, and I believe we've got one other segment coming somewhere in between those.
It's your segment, whatever you're doing.
Yes. Oh, speaking of that, as far as armor planning, I'm actually going to put that off to next episode simply because, holy crap, I'm busy working on convention stuff and I have a giant project on my filming table. So instead, you guys are actually going to see a segment on materials for papier-mâché because that's actually what I've been working with. So armor planning next episode for episode 9 is I'm going to actually start filming that as soon as I get all the papier-mâché off my table. It's been a messy, messy weekend. I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I hate getting messy, but I kind of had to because
You have
papier-mâché
to.
is cheap.
Yes, it is. But you gotta, it's a messy cheapness.
It is. It's, the cosplay triangle. You can have it cheap, you can have it fast, or quality, pick two, and I chose cheap and fast.
Which equals messy.
I don't know how quality papier-mâché is. We'll find out here very shortly. But anyways, on with the segments.
This segment's going to focus on some general tips on how to cut wigs. So, of course, you're going to need a wig, preferably a styrofoam mannequin head, a wide tooth comb, some scissors, and lots of newspaper. I recommend newspaper just to kind of cover the countertops and the floor because weak fibers have this tendency to spread like crazy, just like real hair. And as you can see from my results, they kind of went everywhere, so it just makes cleaning up a lot easier. The first thing I would recommend is you put your hair up as if you were going to be wearing your wig all day long at a convention, and then put the wig on your head. This will help you figure out and determine, okay, where's the wig falling on my face in comparison to when I place it on the mannequin head. You want to note where the bangs fall on you, where it hits on your cheekbones, along your eyebrows, even along your chin. And I make this recommendation because wig heads are notoriously smaller than normal human heads. So it's best to get a general idea of where the wig hits you and where the wig hits the mannequin so you can scale accordingly. What you can also do, as you can see on my mannequin head, is I pad it with extra scraps of fabric and duct tape so that way it fits my measurements better. Next, you want to pin the wig onto the wig head. What I like to do is I like to take the clips that are on the backs of the wigs and wrap it around the chin of the wig head to kind of give it a little bit more stability. And then I put my straight pins in, usually along the top or in the areas where I know I won't be cutting. Let's talk about the scissors. You don't need to get the fancy hair shears. You can just use normal scissors, or even what I have is microfiber scissors, which actually make cutting wig fibers a lot more clean and neat, and you're less likely to get odd splits. The biggest tip and technique that I have learned from friends of mine who are hairstylists is you always keep the top blade straight. You cut with the bottom blade, which is very, very odd. And when you practice doing this, it's going to feel very weird. So I really would strongly consider practicing on how to cut first before you actually cut the wig. And again, you just keep that top blade as still as possible, and you only move the bottom blade. Before cutting the wig, I recommend brushing it out to get rid of any extra knots. You can wet it down just as like you would at a hair salon, but I find that it really doesn't make much of a difference because it's going to look the same wet and dry. So why go through that extra step of making it wet and take twice as long to dry it out? You always want to take small segments of hair and cut it instead of taking one large chunk and then cutting it all at once. The reason why is, especially with the wigs that are much thicker in hair, if you cut it all at once, you're probably going to make a lot of mistakes. And you're going to find that there are going to be a lot of uneven cuts. You can find some areas that are blunt, and then some areas that are kind of spiky, and then some areas that are layered. And if you let it all go, it's going to look like a giant mess. So you want to take small sections at a time and cut those. This is helpful if you are trying to make blunt bangs or if you're trying to do a bob, where the cuts need to be very precise and even. The smaller the cuts that you take, the better it's going to look in the end. If you've never cut a wig before, you want to take your time. Don't rush into it. Less is more, really. Just don't overcut. If you'd like to know how to layer something, which you probably will end up doing if you have less than full wigs or if you're in the process of wanting to add spikes, you again want to take it in sections, but instead of taking it as in one section of hair, do it sections by wefts, starting from the top. Cut it at an angle from up to down. Let it go, brush it out, then take the next section of wefts underneath it, and continue your way downward. Layering is a great technique if you want to add much more body and volume to your hair. But it also works for if you're trying to get some of those funky anime spikes without having to add foam core or other weird techniques. And one thing you'll notice that I do in this video is I flip my wig head over and I cut some of the hair on the bottom. And again, this is just to kind of help even the lookout. I find a lot of people will either overcut or undercut that line of weft that it's the very, very base of the wig. So you can't forget about those as well. And if you find that you're having a hard time accessing that one layer of weft at the very base of the wig, just flip the wig over and then cut it upside down. And of course, remembering to brush it all out. And then, of course, you always want to give it final brushing out and then test it upon yourself and make sure, okay, is this cut in the appropriate locations where I wanted it to cut? Is it trimmed right? This isn't even about styling it. Styling it is a completely different step. This is just checking your work. And as you can see, this is where it's styled, and this is where it's been used. So I went from a medium wig to a short wig.
Hi, everybody. This is Amber with Cospod, and I am talking with Amanda, a wonderful cosplay photographer who has agreed to sit down with us and have a little chat. So welcome, Amanda.
Hello.
If you would, please introduce yourself to our audience. Tell them a little bit about how you got into this wonderful hobby called cosplay and photography and what you do.
Well, my name is Amanda. I also go by Elemental Online, and I've been doing cosplay photography since probably about 2005. I have, at this moment, because I just happened to check online, have about 400 photo shoots under my belt from different conventions and events I've hosted. And I really got into cosplay photography, I guess, out of a mix of terrible, terrible selfish pride, and a deep-seated love for the cosplay community I was growing up in Toronto that didn't have any photographers nearby. And starting out on the cosplay.com website as it was just really growing and seeing all these awesome photographers in the U.S. like Kyle and EBK and Mabaroshi taking amazing photos and posting them and doing photo shoots at parks. And nobody did that in Toronto. And I used to stomp my feet and complain a lot when everybody was around and able to listen to me. And eventually I stopped complaining and bought a camera and hosted a photo shoot. And that was literally the start. It was just me desperately wanting to give all of my friends and everybody I knew great photos of what they were doing. And going on from there, really finding a great love for photography.
I've actually looked at your portfolio and it is quite massive. But I think the thing that struck me most about them is you have this sense of perspective that isn't necessarily the norm. Like most people will say, hey, can I take your picture? And they just stand in front of you and you take a photo head on. But the photos you have seem to tell a story, even especially with locations. So how do you find these locations when you're at a convention hotel?
I usually get booked at conventions. So people hire me in advance and they pay me money and they say, we schedule a time, usually for an hour, to do a shoot. So on my half of the job, their half of the job is to show up in costume. My half of the job is to research their series. I'll watch an episode or two or some music videos. I'll dig up the Wikipedia ad and figure out where is it happening? What does it basically look like? And what are the color tones used? And that's going to give me a basic idea of what I want in terms of location and lighting. And then when I get to the convention center, I always try to go a couple of hours to a day early, and I will walk the entire convention center. I will usually go with my camera and I'll snap photos. And it's not just a matter of going out into the parking lot and then checking out the front foyer. I look, where are the elevators? What do all of the open bathrooms look like? Because shooting in a bathroom is one of those things that nobody thinks about. And in a lot of convention hotels, especially in the executive wings, they have gorgeous tiles and great mirrors in the middle of a corner so nobody knows. Emergency staircases, if it does not say alarm will sound, you're free to go through that door. So lots of emergency staircases. I have found the personal laundromat of the staff of the hotel that way. I found a cave-in. Like, very clearly, a section of the hotel had fallen in, and they just, like, concreted over it.
Nice.
That was great. So it's, you know, pools, gardens, out the back of ASIN. A lot of people don't realize ASIN, if you walk past the parking lot, is a nature preserve, like acres and acres with water and trees and deer. So it's all about walking around, getting a really good idea of where everything is, and then I plan my shoots based on that. So I actually know when I go to meet my Maze on Ikkuku people, or when I go to meet my Legend of Zelda people, where am I taking them? Where is it in regards to where we are, and how long is it going to take there? And vaguely, what shots am I going to take when I'm there?
Okay, that is a ton of research to be done. That's cosplay level research.
One of my big goals when I'm shooting is twofold. It's one to give everybody, even if it's a series I've shot before, even if it's people I've shot in the same costumes before, I'm always trying to give people different photos than I've given anybody else or that I've given them before. So if I'm shooting three, here's a great example, Homestuck. I love Homestuck to bits. If I'm shooting three different Homestuck groups, I'm giving them three different sets of photos so they won't look like it was all part of the same group. And I'm always trying to make it so that you can't tell where the convention center is. If you can't tell this happened at a convention, if you can't recognize the convention, I win, as far as I'm concerned.
That is actually a really great way of putting it, because I know as cosplayers, sometimes you feel a little awkward seeing, people running around in the background and artist tables. No offense to the artists, and just random hotel things in the background, but if you can somehow make that disappear, you're quite a magician.
And it's all about angles and finding corners that nobody else is in and trying to avoid the convention carpet because you can recognize, wait, like the Toronto Convention group, we will literally play name the convention based on the wallpaper and the carpet.
I have noticed that on Coscom. You can tell where it is based on the carpet.
Yep.
Today, the material segment is going to be on papier-mâché, something that you've all probably had a little bit of experience with, even if it was just in kindergarten. As you can see, I have a wide array of materials here. First and foremost is the item I'm going to mâché, which happens to be my bow from the Slayer series Try. Now, what I've already done with this is that I have coated it with some watered-down wood filler. Now, this isn't necessary. Basically, all this does is prime the surface so that stuff will stick to it as it's nice and tensile. But sanding something down will achieve the same purpose if you want to, or you don't have to prime it at all. To be honest, most papier-mâché will stick to surfaces smooth and rough, but sometimes this helps it to stick more. At any rate, I stuck wood filler and some water in a little Mod Podge bottle here. And then I just painted it on using a brush. Now, of course, wood filler comes in these little containers like this. And it's kind of a goo. It looks a lot like really grainy frosting when you first start to work with it. But I went ahead and primed it. It's nice and dry. Do make sure that if you prime your surface, it's nice and dry before you mâché it. Otherwise, the paper mâché is just going to fly right off. But there's a few different ways to make paper mache, actually. The traditional method, usually used in primary school, is the white glue method. This, of course, is what they call white glue. It's the Elmer stuff that you see kids use sometimes, but adults can use it too because it's actually very versatile. But basically what you do is you take half and half a mixture of white glue and water. There are other ways, there are other variations on the paper mache recipe. I actually like to do a variation with wood glue, since wood glue tends to be a little bit stronger and a little stiffer than white glue. So I use one third of the white glue, one third water, and then one third wood glue. And this stuff can be bought at Home Depot, Lowe's, pretty much any hardware store, any hobby store where you end up finding wood. And then, of course, I always keep tons and tons of water. I promise this is water. This is not Crystal Dr. Pepper. But this is water that I just keep handy in case of cleanup as well, because most of this can just be washed away or diluted at any rate with water. I do have my handy handy package of napkins here, just in case I need them for cleanup, also to wipe off my hands, paint brushes, etc. When you put together your glue mixture, you'll want to have some sort of container. Here I'm just using a regular porcelain container. And I lined it with foil, just so that I can easily clean it up afterward. Just take out the foil and throw it in the trash. And I went ahead and I mixed my glues and my water in here. Usually, I just use the handle of a paintbrush to stir it together. That tends to be easiest for me. You can also, if you end up having artist tools, you can use a spatula to mix it. Anything realistically will do as long as you clean it off and as long as you're willing to lose it just in case you forget to clean it off and it gets hard. Because once this stuff dries, it honestly gets really, really hard. So if you end up mixing it with, say, the bristles of a paintbrush, if you don't clean it off, you've pretty much lost that paintbrush, unless you can somehow boil it off, in which case you probably don't want to eat out of that pot for a while. But, oh, also, now that I'm thinking about it, there's also a second set of variations on papier-mâché that involve the use of flour. You can use those. They end up coming out more of a clay than an actual liquid. Usually they involve flour, salt, to prevent mold, because otherwise flour and water on its own will grow mold after a while, and then it smells delicious. And then you end up putting something else in there as a hardener sometimes, such as sawdust, ground up toilet paper sometimes. I've seen all sorts of things, even involving lint. There's some pretty strange papier-mâché recipes out there. But you can also put in things like linseed oil, which acts as a hardener. You can find that in some health stores and even in some hardware stores because it can be used also as a polish. Or you can also put bleach in there. Be very, very, very careful when using bleach because the fumes are deadly and the stuff is not really kind to your hands. So make sure you take all safety precautions if you use bleach. Same thing with any sort of unfamiliar substance. Wallpaper paste. That's the one. A lot of people tend to use wallpaper paste and flour with a little bit of water in it. Again, this can grow mold, so do make sure you put some sort of disinfectant in there. And also, as always, take all precautions, safety precautions, because the fumes on wallpaper paste are kind of nasty too. This is actually why I prefer using the simpler glue and newspaper method, just because it's a little less toxic and it doesn't quite smell so bad. But of course, if you want to make papier-mâché that smells good, you can always drop a little bit of cinnamon in there, and then it will come out smelling like cinnamon. But, that all aside, I have my mixture. I have handfuls of strips of newspaper. Now, of course, you can make them shorter or longer than this. That's completely up to your preference. I will say, though, that when you shred newspaper, that you should shred it by hand and not with scissors, because the shredded edge will absorb glue a lot better than a cut edge, or the edge that ends up coming off of newspaper, like this, where it's already been cut for you. The sharp edges of newspaper don't really absorb glue very well. I mean, you can try it, and you can always use these strips of paper. They'll just absorb a little bit less glue and they'll be a little less neat. So shred by hand. Usually I end up laying a ruler down like this. End up taking the newspaper, putting the ruler on top of it like this, and then just tearing like so, so that I get nice, even strips. It's very quick. And then, of course, you can tear these into smaller strips as you need them. One other thing to consider is clean up afterward. Whenever you're papier-mâcheing over a surface, you'll want to cover your area with newspaper, tarp, a tablecloth, something to prevent the dripping glue from getting all over your table. Unless, of course, you really want your table covered in glue. Simply because if this stuff drips into your carpet, it's a little more difficult to get out. You can still dilute it with water, but much easier to prevent than to cure, of course. If you want a double precaution, you can actually put a tarp on your floor underneath. But I haven't done that. I'm actually not worried about it. I've got plenty of newspaper underneath the article I'm going to papier-mâché. So what you do when you papier-mâché, I'm going to move my ruler out of the way, as well as all articles that I don't want glue to get on, I'm going to move them out from under my object. Make sure that your object is firmly in a place where it's not suddenly going to get knocked over as you're working on it. You'll take your mixture and your newspaper strip, and you dip it inside the glue. Now note that this does get messy very, very quickly. And we'll take the strip, smooth off the excess, because there will be a lot of excess. Newspaper is actually surprisingly absorbent. And this is, of course, why they will tell you to use newspaper, whenever you are, say, working on your car, or needing to wipe up a mess, or even to wash the windows of your car, oddly enough, because it leaves no streaks. Once you've cleaned off the excess, you'll lay it on your object, like so. Smooth it down. Make sure it is flush against your surface. You don't want bubbles, because once the bubbles are there, you won't be able to get them out. You'll have to sand them out, and that will pretty much destroy the newspaper. And of course, in all of this, if your newspaper shreds a little bit, that's okay, because you can always use multiple layers of paper mache, or you can simply, you know, use a little bit of glue and smooth over the area. When you do paper mache, you'll usually end up doing somewhere, depending on the object and how thick you want it, between 2 and up to 8 layers of paper mache. 8 layers is getting toward the upper end of things, simply because it's going to be very, very stiff at that point. For something like this that's actually going to flex here in the middle, I will probably only do 2 layers here, and then I will do more layers here where it's not going to flex. So that's something to consider, is how stiff you want your project to end up being as far as layers of paper mache. And all you have to do is repeat the same process. Take your strips, dip them in glue, lay them on your object. Make sure that your object is completely dry before sanding it. If you try and sand it while wet, you can. There is actually a process called wet sanding, but generally that is not done while the paper mache is wet. That is done with water, and that is a completely different process. Sanding wet paper mache tends to make a very big mess, not only with your sandpaper, but with your object. So do make sure that everything is completely dry before you start to sand it. Paper mache is paintable. It is sandable. To the best of my knowledge, it can be pretty unbreakable if you do enough layers to it. It's not flexible if you get enough layers to it, so do keep that in mind. If you flex a paper mache object, it will probably break cleanly, and it's a little difficult to repair. But you can always paper mache over it to repair it, which is actually one of the fantastic things about paper mache. If you want to fix something, you just use more paper mache. It's fantastic. Other than that, I do believe that is all I can think of. Do make sure that you wash your hands as soon as you're done, especially before eating. And also, do not paper mache near where you have other portions of your cosplay, because it does, like I said, get messy, and you really don't want to stain the other parts of your cosplay that you're doing this on. But that is paper mache.
Alright guys, hope you enjoyed our show this week. It was fun to put together, but oh god, busy. Busy, busy. I don't think we can say that enough. But despite our busyness, we would like to do another round table. So we are putting out a call to the audience. If you would like to participate in this round table, we are holding it May 13th, which is a Sunday, at 3 p.m., that is Central Daylight Time, because we are in Dallas, and we have to get this stuff done early in the afternoon while we still can.
Yeah.
If you would like to participate, you are free to PM us on DeviantArt. You can leave a message on our Facebook wall, you can tweet us, or you can email us at podcast@cospod.org.
There you go. All the info will be right there where my hands are.
Only in that little spot?
In that little itty bitty spot.
I was going to say, your hands are taking up the whole screen, so.
Right here.
There you go. Also, for those who wish to know, I am teaching 3 panels at ACON, should you wish to attend them. I will have the schedule up on the screen and up on our website as well. I have 1 panel each day, oddly enough. And they're in order. So my first one is Friday, my second one is Saturday, and my third one is Sunday. We will be filming all 3. So if you would like to participate, we fully and wholeheartedly invite you to attend them. Also, there will be a cosplay tea party. Oddly enough, this is the drink, not the political affiliated organization. None of that. Just you know, tea.
Oh, I'm clarifying it.
Just in case. I don't want, you know, people coming over going, objection.
Dude, so, we'll totally do that, because if it is on Friday, because I've been watching the topic, a bunch of us are going to be in Phoenix, right, cosplay on Friday.
Ah.
So we might come in and storm, now that you said that.
Now we'll have a photobomb.
We're going to be photobombing you, man.
Well, it will probably be Friday night, and this will be sometime between maybe 7 and 9 p.m., because I'm aiming to hold it before the big concert and the dance. Basically, I'm just trying not to step on anybody's toes for scheduling, because I know there's panels going on 24/7.
Oh, God, but, yeah.
Yes, panels and cosplay tea party, hopefully on Friday. For more information, you can also track the topics on the Akon forums and on the cosplay.com forums, as I am keeping track of both. Now that the pimping of my panels is done.
Pimping my panels? That sounds horrible. I'm sorry. I'm sick.
Blame the meds. Blame the meds.
I'm on NyQuil. I'm on DayQuil. I got a cortisone shot.
Next episode, which will be just as quirky, if not more, as this one.
The next episode should be even better, because then I won't be on a medication. So, whew.
It will be full of content, just as much as this one has been. Armor planning, part one, will be that episode. Also, Val is going to be doing a segment on boot covers, which is incredibly useful. Every cosplayer should know how to do it.
And I know a bunch of you have been asking us about those, so boot covers, they're coming, I promise.
There will also be cos philosophy. It is coming back after a short hiatus.
Not sure what the topic is yet, but we'll figure out something.
But if you have input, audience, as to what you would like us to cover in cos philosophy, if there's anything you would like us to talk about, or if you would like to come and chat with us, we're always welcome to have guests on the show. Val, if you would tell them how to contact us.
Okay. First, we got our DeviantArt, which is DeviantArt's... crap, hang on. It's cospod.deviantart.com. We got our Twitter, which is
Cos Podcast.
Is it Cos Podcast? Many freaking ones. Cospod.org. We can do that. Cospod.org. That's all you need to know. If you want to Facebook us, it's Facebook/cosplay podcast. I know those two. I know those two really well because I check them all the time.
Yes. Unfortunately, for the listeners who don't know, we've kind of been struggling a little bit to keep our names consistent across social media because they're all taken.
Yeah.
So we kind of alternate between Cos Podcast and Cosplay Podcast, depending on whichever one's available.
Exactly. Because there's apparently someone whose last name is like Cos.
Someone's last name is Cospod, actually.
Yeah.
Or it's a Constantine Pod something.
It's ridiculous. So it's like, okay, you can't take that as a Twitter name.
Yeah. So for the listeners, if for some reason, if you don't see us as Cospod, check Cos Podcast and Cosplay Podcast, because chances are we're one of them.
All spelled cospod.org.
Yes, cosplay.org is our website. Please check it out. We are doing weekly updates now instead of bi-weekly.
Mm-hmm.
So we're constantly putting up new featured tutorials. We're going to have some new interviews up there. There's always news on the homepage on the left-hand panel. We have Matsuri coverage now up on our homepage. Yep. We've got the video posted up there as well as the picture gallery, both of which are also on our Facebook. And we are always putting new people into our directory as well. So if you're looking for someone to commission, if you're looking for photographers, that sort of thing, we're building up a directory.
We're getting better.
Check us out. If you have any suggestions, feel free to email us at podcast@cospod.org. And with that, we will see you next time in episode 9. Bye, guys.
Bye.